Anybody need a headset? Bring it up. Great, wonderful. So Isaiah 43 and verse 1. And I'm so excited because the subject of today is the importance of the Word of God. How important is the Word of God? Now we know that the Bible, the Holy Bible, is the Word of God. We also know that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the Word of God. You cannot separate the Word of God from Jesus Christ. He is God's Word. And that Word made flesh manifest. So when we say, how important is the Word of God? Well, if you love Jesus, then you're going to love His Word. If you love Jesus, you're going to love the Scriptures, the Bible. You're going to love reading it. You're going to love looking into it, examining it. Because you can't separate Jesus from His Word. And so, I remember when I was a young man, and I first time I saw Fiona, when Wilson preaches, I think a couple of times, he would talk about Vivian, don't worry. But I remember the first time when I saw Fiona, I couldn't take my eyes off her. Yes. I was in a prayer meeting, but we had a church service, and after the church service, these girls that came from another church wanted to come to our after church fellowship. It was a bit suspicious. And so they came to our after church fellowship, and we were singing songs, choruses, worshiping Jesus. We were all in our 20s. And this beautiful lady, Fiona, came along with her friends, and I couldn't take my eyes off her. I just couldn't take my eyes off her. Did this happen to you?
Yes.
You better say yes. And I remember, I was like, I had to close my eyes, because I never closed my eyes in prayer meetings. I was like, my eyes open. But I had to close my eyes, because I kept on looking at her. I said, this is no good, I should close my eyes. I shouldn't be staring at this woman. So I said, I must ask her out. If that's how she affects me, I must ask her if she will go out with me. So I asked her if she'd go out with me on a date. And when I asked her, she said, no, I'm busy next Saturday. So I thought, oh, she dumped me already. But she said, well, the following week, I'm free. And she had a children's piece of it, a children's Sunday school event she was doing on a Saturday. So she wasn't willing to cancel it to go on a date. But the following Saturday, she was free. And I remember, when I met Fiona, I fell in love with her. You know, after the third date, I knew I loved her. And how many dates were different? But after the third date, I knew I was in love. And then I began to write her songs. I began to write love songs to her. And she loved all the love songs I wrote. She sang so wonderful. Other people thought they were okay, but she thought they were wonderful. And you know, when God gave us His Word, it's because He loves us. When He gave us these scriptures, it's because God looks at you and God loves you. And He wants you to know what's in His heart, how He feels about you, what He thinks about you, how important you are to Him. And so therefore, this is God's love letter. How important is the Word of God? I'm sure Vivian has kept all of the love letters that Brother Wilson has written. And they're all in a special drawer with a ribbon around it, you know, because they're so precious to her. This should be very precious to us. This should be the most important thing in our life. The Word of God. Because Jesus loves us. And so, when we understand how important the Word of God is, then we begin to look into what it provides for us. Isaiah 43 and verse 1. But now this is what the Lord says. Who you created, you Jacob. Who you formed, you Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You know, there is a good reason why you should never be afraid again. Why fear should not hold you in its grip. Why fear should not keep you down or keep you subdued. Why fear should not be so big in your life that you cannot overcome it. You should never allow fear to intimidate you ever again. Why? Because you're redeemed. You've been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus Christ has redeemed you. There is nothing to be afraid of or fearful of. Why? Because those who are redeemed by the Lord understand that He's bigger than everything that could bring fear into your life. He's bigger than cancer. He's bigger than any giant that will come into your life and bring an upheaval, that will bring anxiety. He's bigger than any government. Chinese government, Hong Kong government, British government, America. He's bigger than any government. He's bigger than any monetary problem you may experience. You know, God doesn't know what debt is. In fact, God is a debtor to nobody. Whatever you do for the Lord, you can be sure of this. The Bible says that God doesn't owe anybody anything. If there's anything you've done for the Lord, God will repay you back 30, 60, 100 times what you've sown into His kingdom. God will pour back into your life. He's nobody's debtor. And so therefore, there should be no room for fear in your life. Yes, fear comes. There are things that come to make us afraid. But when we remember what the Lord has done for us, that you are redeemed, then fear is driven away. What does the scripture say? Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. And so what are we to understand by this? You see, godly people, people who love the Lord, people who have His word hidden in their hearts, who stand on His word, have an understanding that it doesn't really matter what waves or tempests or storms come against you. You're not on your own. You're never alone. For the Lord is with you. You may feel that you're on your own. But when you come to a new country, suddenly you find people walking up to you in the streets and reminding you that you belong to the Lord and calling you back home. You're never on your own. The Lord is with you. And so, the godly, those who are godly, have company. They have somebody with them all the time. He's called the Holy Spirit. For every one of you who are born again are sealed by the Holy Spirit. A deposit that God has placed in your life, guaranteeing for you eternal redemption and eternity with Him. You know, you belong to the Lord. Because your heart cries, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So the godly are never alone. You know, what does the scripture promise? Yes, storms may come, but you will not be drowned by them. They will not flow over you. They will not overcome you. Yes, storms will come, but the God who knows how to part the Red Seas, the God who belong to Jesus in the middle of their distress. And so when the scripture says you will walk through the fire, we're not talking about we're not talking about charlatans here. We're talking about people who know Jesus. That when the storms and the fires are raging and everything's burning down around you, you will walk through it, and not even the stench of the flames will be on your clothing, for God will protect you and watch over you. His word brings an understanding in your inner being, in your inner man. When his word is in you, you see the world different to when his word is not in you. When his word is in you, everything changes. It's like having a wonderful pair of glasses. When you need reading glasses, these are reading glasses. When you need reading glasses, everything looks, if you don't have reading glasses, it all looks fuzzy. But when you put your reading glasses on, you see clearly. Well, when the word of God is in your heart, it causes the scales to fall from your eyes. And you can begin to see the world as it truly is. And understand what you're truly facing in this world in which you live. And so, miracles are the norm, the normal, for every child of God who's walking with him. So the flames will not burn you up. I have a fireplace. We have a wood burner in our house, which also heats up the radiators. And sometimes it gets so hot, that when you try to put wood into it, you kind of like, you're afraid you're going to get burned up because it's just even too hot just to put the wood in. It gets so hot. And, you know, in the middle of a fire, you can imagine how heated things can be. But the promise of the Lord is that you will become like the wood that goes into the fire. You know, when you put wood into fire, it burns. But when you go through a time of great distress and trouble, you're not going to burn up. The promise of the Lord is you won't be kindled for the fire. The fire will not set you ablaze. You will not be overcome by the heat of the struggle that you find yourself in. For I, verse 3, am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So God is saying, look, the reason why you can have confidence is not because of yourself, but because of who I am. I am the Lord, your God. You don't have to have confidence in yourself, but you should have confidence in Him. You don't have to have confidence in your neighbor, but you should have confidence in the Lord. And God is saying, you know, the greatest reason why you should not have any fear in your life is because the Lord is your God, and therefore you can rest in comfort, in assurance that when you've got nothing else, nobody else to help you, the Lord is watching over you, and the Lord will guide you and lead you where you need to be. The Lord will guide you and bring you to a place of security. The Lord will guide you and bring you to a place of rest. Why? Verse 4, since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, God loves you. Now, this might not be culturally easy to do, but I'm going to ask you just to turn to your neighbor and to say, God loves you. Can you do that? Just turn to your neighbor and say, God loves you. Can you give your neighbor a hug and say, God, give him a hug and say, God, love you. Go, give your neighbor a hug. Give your neighbor a hug. God, love you. Yeah. Someone give me handshakes. It's okay. Yeah. Maybe a hug is too much. So verse 4 of Isaiah 43. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, one of the things I love about Hong Kong culture, I love the way you honor the elderly. is beautiful. The way you honored auntie and uncle when they sang last week, one day magnificent. Can we give them a they were just brilliant. And, you know, it was just so nice to be family like this together. And honor is something that you should give. Everybody deserves honor. From the youngest child to the oldest person, they should honor. Everybody should be given honor and respect. Every individual. And I love on the celebration that we did, I love the way you honored auntie and uncle, and you show them love and respect and honor. This is beautiful. We need that in this country. Is that right, Jeremy? Yes. we need that in this country because there's so much discord in this country. But the Lord goes to say, since you are precious and honored to my sight, so God honors you. God honors you. You're honored by God. You are honored. And because I love you, why am I doing it? Why does God do it? Why? God is saying, why am I doing this? Because I love you. If you're not convinced that God loves you, just look at the cross. God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. So that whoever we believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you. I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. God will pay any price to redeem you, to save you. He'll give up anything that people want. If you've been taken captive, he'll give up anything to get you back. God will give anything, pay any ransom, so that you will be redeemed. But of course, he paid the greatest ransom in the cross, that you be saved from all your sin. God is willing to give everything up so that you could spend eternity with him. This is it. God will love you. And so he says, verse 5, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. And so we understand this. God is determined to form for himself a people who love him from every nation, tongue, and tribe. This year, in the next few months, we're going to be starting a new community in Didcot. Just like we started one here. There'll be a new community started up in Didcot. And the team is now come together. We're now looking for venues and we're meeting. And you know, God wants to call people from every area of life, from every society, from every aspect. And he wants to bring them together and to be his people. Now, let me share with you my second point. My first point is God loves you, so don't be afraid. But my second and final point is this. Turn with me to Psalm 19 and verse 7. Psalm 19 and verse 7. That's a message from the Lord. Sing, rejoice. Okay, so Psalm 19, verse 7. So I should know that God's word wants to reveal, when I read God's word, he wants to reveal he loves me to me. This is his love letter. And again, I've just taken you through a scripture in the Old Testament that shows you that God loves you. But there are many, many scriptures, Old and New Testament, in which God wants you to know in your heart that he loves you. That's why this is important to read and not just have on a bookshelf. But the second reason why this is important is this. When you read the word of God, it brings revival into your spirit. So when you read the word of God, your eyes are opened. Wow, I'm loved. Wow, God loves you. God can, revelation flows into your heart. Wow. God opens your eyes. You can see. But the second point is this. When you read the word of God, it endows you with supernatural power to do the works of God that we cannot do without understanding His word. So, Psalm 19 and verse 7. These scriptures are powerful scriptures. It says this: the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. As a little boy in Nigeria, I remember I used to be on the football team. I wasn't very good. So they always put me in the goals. Okay? Because I wasn't very good in the field. Okay? So I wasn't, but at least I was in the team. That's how I saw it, at least I was in the team. But after you play a football match, on the field there'll be many teams playing in big field. But there was only one tap. You're an African. So, fellow African here. So, there was only one tap. So, after the match, there was a long queue waiting and nobody had any cups. So, you cup your hand and you drink water from the tap like this. Okay? And it was the most wonderful, refreshing drink. And I still remember till today drinking from that tap. Because it was so refreshing. Has anybody ever had a tap like that? The scripture tells us that God's word is perfect and it refreshes your soul. So when your body is dry and thirsty because you've been running or just exercise or you're sweating, it's hot, and you just need a cool drink, and you know when you drink that cool, you feel wonderful on the inside. I remember when I was a teenager, I used to go to take a bottle of Coca-Cola. And the whole Coca-Cola is gone in one gulp. So too your soul, your emotions, how you feel. The things that trouble you, that cause you anxiety and pain and difficulty. When you read the word of God, it's like refreshing water. Your soul is healed. Your soul is restored. God is able to put bandages on the inside of your heart where physically you cannot reach. His word can reach those bits inside of you. If you're going through pain and difficulty in your home, because I don't know about you, when I was a young Christian, very young Christian, just a one year married, Fiona and I, we used to argue. And we would argue about where you put the toothpaste. Okay? When you put the lid on the toothpaste. And when you use the toothpaste, you put the lid back on. Does anybody else have this kind of argument? Yes. When you use a plate, you wash it. Anybody else have those kind of arguments? You're tidying up after yourself. Okay? Now, as I remember, as a young married man, nobody ever told me I have to do anything like this before. If I use a plate, I leave it there. And then I had to learn how to listen. And you know, some of the things I did would have hurt her. She'd have felt, oh, that's painful. I prefer you were not like this. I would like you to change, to be a better man. Can I hear an amen? And of course, when you read the word of God, if you're hurting because your husband or your wife doesn't believe as they should, when you read the word of God, it helps you to heal your heart. I know Fiona said that there were times when she forgave me, not because she loved me, but because God told her that was the right thing to do. And as she read her Bible, she thought, I need to forgive my husband because he's not behaving as he should. So I will forgive him because God's word, I love Jesus, Jesus loves me, and God wants me to forgive him, so I will forgive him. There have been times in my life, in our early marriage, when we were just married, when I had to forgive her. and hold anger in my heart or be upset when I disappoint you. So I will forgive them. You see, when you have wounds in your soul, the word of God brings healing into our heart. It revives you. It helps you to live right. This is why it's important to read the word of God. Because there are times in your life when even people who love each other will hurt each other. How do you get healed? The word of God revives your soul. It restores your soul. It helps you deal with things that are painful in your life. And then it goes on to saying, the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise and simple. Are there any simple people here today? Anybody here simple? It's just me. Okay, two of us. Two of us are simple, okay? Vivian and I are both simple people, okay? Oh, but Wilson's turning in. So the word of God, not only does it revive your soul, it makes you wise. So you can learn from God what the best thing to do in life is. You don't have to make mistakes. You can read the Bible, and from the Bible, look at that silly man, what he did there. I don't have to do that. I don't have to live like that. Look at that silly woman. What did she think she was doing? I don't have to be like that. The word of God can make you wise, give you wisdom. I had a dream last night. I had a dream last night, and the Lord came to me in a dream last night. It was amazing. He was also telling me, he was also rebuking me. He was telling me off about some things. But he came in a dream to me, and he showed something. And at the heart of it was this desire for wisdom. And, when I was asking for wisdom, and he spoke to me in the dream. But I'm not going to, let me finish this. Okay? So make it, but if you're simple, God will give you wisdom. He will speak to you. He will open your eyes to see. And then I'm going to say the precepts of the word of God are right, giving joy to the heart. You know, when that phone went off just now with that funny tune, we all started dancing. There are some songs you just have to dance to. You know, when my children are upset and I have superpowers as a dad. Okay? My superpower is I can make them smile even when they're angry. Okay? Yes! Yes! So I say to them, I can see a smile under that face. And they will want to be angry, but they just can't help it. There is that hiding your face because they don't want to smile. And this superpower works with all children. So, you know, it's amazing superpower. So I've practiced it on Akash's girls, it works. I've practiced it on Rachel's kids, it works. It's a superpower. You know, you can just make people smile. The word of God brings joy to your heart. You know that song, because I'm happy. There are some songs that just make you smile. The word of God will always bring joy to your heart. We should read it more. In a world that's full of darkness, his word brings joy. And then the psalmist goes on to say, the commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. In other words, it helps you to see. So the psalmist compares the word of God to the sun. Yeah, you've got the sun up there, and it's bright and it's glorious, absolutely. But compared to the word of God, God's word is radiant and it gives light in your inner being, not just the external light of the sun. I mean, the external light of the sun produces life. The grass grows, the flowers grow because they get the rays of the sun. How much more God's word in your inner being? When God's word illuminates, what kind of growth can it bring to the inner man? Light to the eyes. Amazing. The sun may warm you, may give you warmth in the summer, but there's a radiant light that shines in you that gives you a warmth all year. year round. So, what is David saying? Well, God's word is to be desired much more than gold, much more than pure gold. When you think of the most precious gold you can imagine, or the most precious stone, Vivian's name means emerald,
king of jade.
Okay, so Wilson's queen is king of jade. Okay, when you think about the most precious stone you can imagine, the most precious material, metal, gold, or whatever you can imagine that you think is really precious, His word is to be desired more than those things. More than those things. And it to be desired more than those things. Why? Well, because when you have the word of God, it gives you intellectual riches that gold cannot buy. It gives you riches in terms of understanding that money can never buy. You know, they say that knowledge is power, but spiritual knowledge is ultimate power. When you truly understand the things of the universe, the things of God, well, man's life doesn't consist in just making money and creating wealth. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't make you necessarily happy. But when you understand what true riches are, the riches that the things that God values, the things that God believes are important, and God's word reveals those things to you, those are true riches. Those are true treasures. And those are treasures that will endure for all of eternity. And so finally we're told that they're sweeter than honey, His words. Than honey from the honeycomb. By them is your servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward. I've seen people who have not listened to God's word and made shipwreck of their lives because they haven't obeyed these simple things of God's word. I remember as a young married pastor, and it's okay, it's fine. We like babies. Babies are good. Okay, so don't you worry. I'll just speak louder. Okay? So it's fine. Please don't be worried. But I remember as a young married man, Phil and I traveled together all the time, ministering. You know, by then is your servant warned. So God's word says that you should, when you have a problem with somebody, you should reconcile immediately, right? You should be quick to reconcile. Is that right? Is that correct? Some of you are not sure. You know, depends on who's annoying me. You know. So, we used to travel all the time in a car together, and we go places. And sometimes we'd have a little problem in the car, just a little problem. So she would be reading a map. In those days, there was no satellite navigation. I know I didn't look that old, but believe me, there was no satellite navigation in those days. So she would read the map, and I would write. Her job was to tell me where to turn left and where to turn right. My job was just to drive. Sometimes she wouldn't do her job properly. So I'd do my job properly. And then, we were supposed to turn back there. What? Now I have to drive 20 miles before I can turn back on the motorway. And then, of course, you'd be upset. So you'd be driving in silence. And she said, are you okay? Yes. I think you're upset. No. So we come off the motorway, there maybe like 5 minutes before we get to where I'm preaching. Then I say, Fiona, I'm sorry. And she said, no, you're not. You're only saying it because you're about to get to the church and preach. You're not really sorry. I said, no,
really sorry? Please forgive me.
No, you're not sorry at all. You're not sorry enough yet. And we know what the right thing to do is. But sometimes inside of us, there's rebellion. We don't obey God's word. We don't do what's right. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? So you should forgive quickly. But sometimes we want to hold it out on the inside because we're righteous. We are right. The Bible gives us wisdom. Do what's right immediately. Don't wait. Don't wait. Because when you wait, it builds up and it builds up and it builds up. And then suddenly you find yourself in a position you never intended to be. So the Bible gives us wisdom how to live. We don't have to make mistakes. If we're humble and we're obedient, obedient to God's word, we will have the best life we can possibly have. But if we want to learn the hard way, I remember those days when I would be apologizing so profusely. And she was right. I was saying sorry because I wanted a clear conscience so I could preach. But she wanted a husband that was obedient. Obedient to the word of God. Would you like a husband who is obedient to the word of God? Would you like a wife who is obedient to the word of God? Yes. If, as husbands, we're going to have wives who are obedient to the word of God, we must be obedient to the word of God. We must submit to God's word. When there's a problem in your marriage, do you know whose responsibility it is to initiate reconciliation? Do you know whose responsibility is to initiate reconciliation? On every occasion, whatever the problem, it is the husband's responsibility. Every time. Whether the wife is wrong or right, he must apologize first. Would you like to know why?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Lucy. The Bible says that when we were sinners, far from God, Christ died for us. He initiated reconciliation with us, even when we were wrong. And a husband must love his wife like Christ loved the church. So Jesus initiated reconciliation with all of us. He expects husbands to do the same. That when there's a problem with the house, they go to the wife first and say, "Darling, please let us be reconciled. Please let us, because I want to love you like Jesus loves the church." Can all the ladies clap their hands? And all the men say amen. Amen. So, but this is really important to understand. So the Bible teaches us how we should live. There's wisdom behind it. That's why we should read it. It's really important. If you want to have a good life, a good marriage, and do the best you can for your children, this is really, really important. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the importance of your word. Lord, we pray that our hearts will be open to receiving your word, to reading your word, to understanding your word. We know that Jesus is the word. He is all wisdom from heaven. Help us to be wise, to do what David did, to hide your word in our heart, so that we will not sin against you. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just before I hand back to you, Joanna, I'm just going to ask Jeremy to stand up. This is Jeremy, everybody. Jeremy runs a ministry all across the United Kingdom called. Linking Lines! Thank you. And it doubled in Coventry. He doubled the ministry. It's many cities. And the ministry is putting people together who've got, who are lonely or isolated, and they just love them and they look after them. He's a wonderful leader in our church, just an amazing man of God. And Linking Lives needs someone to help them with some administration. If anybody's got any type, they would love to help. Please have a chat with Jeremy, because it's a great ministry. Several people who are lonely, and Jeremy's son is our amazing worship leader. Thank you very much for coming here. Who we love so much, he's such a great, polite, he could be Hong Kong. Very polite young man, just lovely young man. Always says the right thing to lead us. Just a beautiful young man, we really love him. So great, so if you want to have a chat with Jeremy, please do, that would be great. Okay.
Thank you, Yinka. I'd actually like to invite the worship team.